first verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The sixth verse is the one the Holy Spirit drew my attention to back there in the pew tonight as we were worshiping the Lord. Most of you could quote it by memory. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want to read that again. This is God's word. I said, this is God's word. And my Bible tells me his word is forever settled in heaven. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will never pass away. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How many want to please God tonight? I believe that's why you're here. Well, he's telling us how we can please God. He wants us to believe him. I said he wants us to believe him. You may be seated. Aren't you thankful for the word of God? No wonder the Bible says, a wayfaring man, though a fool, he need not err in this way. You may not have the highest IQ, but if you've got a desire in your heart to know God and to know his way, the Bible says, a wayfaring man, though a fool, need not err in God's way. And here the Apostle Paul is telling us, as I mentioned, we can please God, and he's telling us how we can please him. He's telling us, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Well, that makes sense right there, doesn't it? If you didn't believe there was a God, why come to him? I'm sure tonight we don't have any atheists in our service tonight. I'm sure that we all believe tonight that there's a God on his throne. Heaven is his throne, and this earth is his footstool. But the Apostle Paul goes on to tell us that is not enough. It would be foolish, as I said, to come to God if we didn't believe there was a God. And I'm sure, as I said, there are no atheists here tonight. And a lot of us, all of us, we'd stand, we'd say, oh yes, if we had a testimony service, I believe in God. I believe there's a God in heaven. I believe there's a creator. But that isn't enough. That and is a conjunction. And it's good for us to realize this. For Paul says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's not enough to come to God, but when we come to him, we must believe that he's going to answer our prayers. Else we'd just be going through a ritual saying, I prayed. Well, big deal. God wants us to get an answer. That's what it's all about. No wonder the Word of God tells us, call upon me, I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I'm reminded of an illustration, or I heard a preacher mention it. He said, a missionary coming back from Kenya, Africa, he said their coins in Kenya, Africa, they're of no value if both sides are not visible. In other words, we have the buffalo and what's on the other side of our nickel. The sides of their coins, both sides, must be readable, they must be visible, or the coin, one side, you may see perfectly what's inscribed there, but the other side, if it is, and so it is with this promise that Paul is telling us, both sides coming to God and then believing that our God answers prayer. For the Bible says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man still availeth much. And I couldn't help but think tonight, as we were in the presence of the Lord, your pastors being gone, Brother and Sister Miller, and what Brother Miller has meant to us, going way back to Ottawa, Kansas, little 8, 9-year-old boy. Now you can reminisce when you're my age. It's not a sign of old age. It's just, you know, it's okay, isn't it, Brother Henley, for us to reminisce, because God would have us come to faith for now. For he hath delivered us, he doth deliver us right now, and he will deliver us. And I'm thinking how God's word came to pass in the situation we faced right down in Ottawa, Kansas. I can remember so well, we were called there off of the evangelistic field to take that pastor. They had a godly woman in that church. Maybe you've heard Brother Miller talk about Mother Rule. That was a woman of prayer. And when that woman prayed, I mean, she got an answer. You know why? She believed to get an answer. And when she would come early Sunday morning, I can still see her. She'd come and kneel before the pulpit. And most of us raise our hands like this. But Mother Rule would raise her little hands like this. You know why? It was just like she was believing God to fill those hands with an answer. And I mean, God answered a prayer. I want to emphasize it again. The reason he did, she believed that God was going to answer her prayer. So when we were called to the church at Ottawa, my husband, we'd held a revival there. The church was in desperate need, had a brand new church. They were behind, I don't know how many payments. They had sold the parsonage. If we hadn't had a little trailer to live in, I don't know where we would have lived. There wasn't any parsonage anymore. And we were called, and there were debts all over Ottawa, Kansas. And we were called, as I said, to go to Ottawa, Kansas. And my husband says, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. And you know, don't ever say you don't want to do something or you won't do something, because I mean, knows what happens. That's usually exactly what you're going to have to do. Amen. So anyway, we went. We thought, well, we'll just go and pray with the people, and we're not going for a tryout. We're going to pray with the people. And my dear husband, he just wasn't trying to do his best, you know, preaching, because he didn't want to go to Ottawa, Kansas. But I'll never forget when we left that service Sunday morning, godly little Mother Rule came up to us and she said, you'll be our next pastor. And when she spoke, I mean, you paid attention. Well, to make a long story short, we went to Ottawa, Kansas. The crowd, the congregation was down. And I won't tell you what our salary, we sure didn't go there for our salary. Brother and Sister Henley were up here. I don't know if you knew about the condition down at Ottawa, Kansas or not at that time. Brother, what was his name, was our district superintendent. Then he took Brother Bryson's place, filled in there for a few years, pastored at Topeka. Anyway, who?
Utley.
Anyway, we went to Ottawa, Kansas, behind in church payments. They were contemplating seriously of selling the church. They didn't know what to do. Well, how many can guess we didn't know what to do either? But we did know the Bible enough and the Word of God that prayer was going to be the answer. And my husband, these 37 years we've been on the field, he's preached it, he's lived it. He said a church has one problem, and it's the spiritual problem. If God's people call by his name, if we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, and our ways are wicked when we try to do anything without the help and strength of Almighty God. Say amen tonight. So what do you know? We didn't know what else to do. We fell on our knees. We began to ask the few that were coming, please, those of you that are free, come and join us in the morning. We're going to open the church and we're going to have prayer meetings. Well, that went over like a lead balloon because the people were discouraged. And how many knows that's one of the tricks of the devil, is to discourage God's people? But I thank God tonight that greater is he that's within us than he that's in this world. And my husband and I, we'd go into that church and we'd pray and we'd seek the face of God. And we had a deacon that, he was a deacon, but he was one of those ornery ones. And they'd had problems with him, and I mean immediately. You could feel his feet were stuck in the mud. Oh, I want to tell you, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Don't deal with these things in the flesh, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we begin to pray, and we begin to seek God, and we begin to ask God, please send us just a few, two or three that are called by my, that will agree together. Lord, touch. And guess who began to come to our morning prayer meetings? Brother Miller's mother. She began to come. She needed healing. Oh, that little soul was a bundle of nerves. She needed healing. We begin to pray and seek the face of God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder. And about the first thing that happened one morning, I'll never forget it. The Holy Spirit came upon our dear sister Miller, and she was slain in the presence of the Lord. And there in the lovely arms of Jesus, her little face began to glow, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost, refilled her, and God healed her sick body. It touched Don Miller, and he worked Santa Fe and was working a night run or whatever. And bless your heart, here he came to the morning prayer meeting. Four of us now. Four, you say, my, my. You think that's being rewarded? You better believe we knew it was. And God came down, and if Brother Miller, he's testified, Don Miller would stand and testify. He had a tobacco habit that he couldn't shake. And God came down in that prayer meeting, and God delivered that man. And shortly, soon after, God delivered him. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he'd stand and he'd testify. I'm giving his testimony. I'm not talking out of school. He said, folks, I've never been saved. I really got saved. And God's delivered me from my tobacco. And God's filled me with the Holy Ghost. And folks, that thing began to break out. And Mother Rule was visiting in that big new convalescent home there, unbeknown to us. She had such a burden for those elderly people, and most of them in that area, don't ask me why, they were hard of hearing. And she'd visit them, but they would, when you'd talk to them, they couldn't hear you, and they'd just say, huh, huh. I mean, they couldn't hear. And she'd go from bed to bed. She knew for them to get saved, some of her neighbors that were church members but were not born again, she knew God would have to open up their ears. And she had faith that God would do it. And he did it, bless his name. After we'd been there a short time, God's beginning to move. One Sunday morning, she said, Brother McAdams, I know you're busy, but she said, would you have an evening, she said, that you could give? She said, I've talked to the owner, and they're welcoming us a service in the evening. Could you come? We said, we sure will. We had a Thursday night revival in the convalescent home. You say, Sister McAdams, are you sure you're not exaggerating? I'm not exaggerating. God began to move that a part of that rest home where they'd wheel them out. It wasn't long. There wasn't room to hold them. They were up and down the halls, and there was an old atheist in there. He sharp as a tack, but that man was a blasphemer. He was an ungodly man. While we were having services, he'd stand back and he'd make fun. Well, the Bible says, pray for those that despitefully use you. He didn't know it, but I want you to know, when he began to act up like that and try to hinder those services, God was just turning the focus of his light upon him, and we began to zero in for that man's salvation. And God, I'll never forget the night that Jesus came down and saved that old atheist. Well, I want to tell you, he did better preaching, Brother Henley, than we did. He was able physically. He'd go from bed to bed and tell them, you've got to get out to the service. Thursday night, we're going to have service. And one woman, God opened up their ears. The owner couldn't get over it. You know why? Mother Rule believed when she prayed that God was going to answer, and he did. And I wouldn't have how many were born again into the kingdom. We had a revival going on in the convalescent. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It wasn't long, no begging, no pleading, no asking who'll give this and who'll give that. God began to move, and the church payments were caught up, and the indebtedness all over Ottawa was caught up, and God began to move. Folks, I want to tell you tonight, there's a God in heaven who answers prayer. And you say, what are you doing here? Francine and Sister McAdams, it's a long story and I'm not going in, but I want you to know, from the time my dear husband passed away, we began to seek the face of God. We knew that God had a change for us. We knew it wasn't wise to make a change too quickly after the death of a loved one, but I want you to know, there were nights when we were awakened in the middle of the night, and God began to speak to our hearts to trust him and to believe him, that he was going to open an effectual door. You say, well, it's well, you know what, Gideon, he didn't think he had enough. But Gideon's 300, God took those 300 because their hearts were wholly set upon God. And they weren't thinking about themselves. They were concerned about the people of God and fighting the battles of the Lord. And beloved, little is much when God is in it. And finally, in the month of September, it just began to be more predominant. God's got a change for you. In the church early, one Monday morning, I'm seeking God and I'm crying out to him. We're getting calls from Springfield for Francine to be there in the Gospel Publishing House. We're getting calls from Brother Maddox, who's in benevolence now in Springfield. You can't go 2-3 ways at once. You know, if the Lord just opened one door, he'd say, well, that's it. But isn't that just like God to open doors and then you do have to seek him? Don't you love God's ways? Have you ever figured God's ways out? I haven't. As high as the heavens, God's ways are above our ways. And I'll never forget this Monday. It seemed like the desperation of our soul. You say, why does God wait so long? He has to wait until we get wholehearted, until we believe that he's going to answer our prayer. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I'll never forget it. I heard a voice speak to me, there'll be 2 tickets in the mail. Well, from where? From whom? When? Doesn't God just kind of like to keep you in suspense sometimes? I want to tell you, serving God doesn't get monotonous. And the longer you serve him, I said the longer you serve him, I want to tell you, it can get exciting. So I'm saying, all right, Lord, I'm tucking that away in my heart like Mary. It says she pondered these things in her heart. I'm not even going to tell Francine. But Lord, 2 tickets, and I'm going around. Lord, 2 tickets, where are they coming from? South Carolina, Judy and Steve, down there keeping in touch with us all the time. Lord, where are they coming from? Brother Maddox in Springfield, where are they coming from, Lord? Saturday, the phone rings, and it's Sister Miller. She said, Sister McAdams, guess what? Well, I think I could have told her. She said, I've got 2 tickets for you. God has provided 2 tickets. And she went on to say, and Anna just have to forgive me right now, but she said, we've got a lady in the church that really prays. She said the Lord awakened her early one morning. She got up to pray and the Lord impressed upon her heart, pray for Francine and Sister McAdams. And she did. And then the Lord spoke to her to contact her brother in Arizona. Somehow, is he a pilot or whatever, there, TWA or one of the lines. And contact him. He told you anytime you wanted tickets to let him know. So she did. And if I'm quoting this wrong, she can tell you after church. He said, I have 2 in the drawer. When those tickets came, the Lord spoke to my heart and he's saying, I'm confirming now the direction that I want you to take. And folks, tonight, I believe if we'll pray and believe God, God's going to answer prayer. It says, let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. In other words, the Word of God is telling us we can be so sure. I said the Word of God is telling us we can be so sure. When we ask God that we can begin to praise him and thank him. Let your request be made known with thanksgiving. And then I'm reminded in CBC our last year, a godly woman from Detroit came to minister in the chapel. And she said, students, some of you have prayed and prayed for your father, your mother, they're unsaved, for kinfolks. Some of you prayed for finances. She said, this morning I want you to believe God and lift your hands and begin to praise him that answer's coming through. She said, you've wept enough tears, you've prayed enough prayers, but now it's time to believe God. He that cometh to God, that's wonderful, come to him in every time of need. Believe that he is. And believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And the Holy Spirit embedded that in our hearts, that student body. And the Holy Spirit fell upon us. And we begin to praise the Lord. We begin to thank the Lord for answered prayers. And beloved, that next chapel service already, when they had testimonies, they didn't have enough time. Students were on their feet, tears running down their cheeks, telling of brothers, loved ones that had found Christ as their Savior. And I believe tonight that's the purpose of this service tonight. We're going to look up to God and we're saying, Father, yes, we're coming to you. You do not grow weary of our oft coming, but you bid us to come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find help in time of need. And I believe tonight God will be pleased if we would come. And forget about everyone else. Forget about me. We're not here to play church. You're not here to play church. There's a lot of places you could be tonight. You're here tonight because down in your heart you know that God answers prayer. I don't know how many deacons we have here tonight. How many do we have? Marty and Debbie's husband and Bill, Brother Bill, and Sister Ruby. I'm going to ask these deacons to come and stand before this pulpit facing this congregation. These are the men that God has chosen, and our Sister Ruby. I believe these men carry souls upon their heart in this church. And our dear pastor, Brother and Sister Miller, we call them our co-pastors. Isn't that beautiful? You know what thrilled me? I'll never forget the night Brother Miller received the baptism. God called him into the ministry that night. He began to preach in other tongues. It rolled. I just found the tape packing. And it happens to have Brother Miller receiving the baptism. Beautiful home. How many years, Santa Fe? And they said all of that went out the window. And they said yes. And it thrilled me that our sister Shirley was willing to turn her back on that gorgeous home. Big baby grand piano in her front room. Aren't you thankful tonight? They didn't ask me to say this, but aren't you thankful tonight that God's giving you pastors tonight? Whose cry, whose only desire, or they'd be out seeking employment somewhere else. God can do. I believe it just takes a few, two or three. I told you, all we had was Sister Miller that started coming. And then her husband Don saw what God had done. You know, the greatest sermon is for you and me to have a fresh touch. A fresh infilling. Oh, stand tonight. We're going to sing it. It's going to do more. Yes, these messages from behind this pulpit, they're very important. But the greatest sermons are you, dear people, going out into Price Cutters and all over. Like, did I tell you what happened to that deacon? Did I tell you? I didn't tell you. I can't tell you everything, but somehow I want to tell you about it. I know. God got a hold of that deacon. You talk about tears. That man wept a puddle of tears. That man prayed through, and Brother McAdams never got so many hugs. And that's not all. He had two boys that were very rebellious. God got a hold of his boys. They had a different home. Folks, God answers prayer. Let's sing it tonight. And as we do, I want each one of you, each one, let's make it 100% tonight. We're not in a hurry. We're coming tonight. And we're letting God know, yes, we believe you are, Lord. We believe you're a great and a mighty God. But Father, we also believe that you've seen our tears and you've heard our cries. And Father, we're just coming tonight to lift up our hands. And this deacon board, they're going to go around and pray for you, dear people. Maybe some of you need healing. They know your needs better than us. God knows them better than anyone. But I know that they love you, people. And we're going to put our faith and our love together. And let's believe God tonight to just come down and fill us all anew with his love. The Bible says those deacons were full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Full of the Holy Ghost and faith. No wonder they had faith. Faith is one of the gifts. One of the gifts of the Spirit. So let's just begin to move out tonight as we sing this. And let's come praising him, shutting ourselves in with God. And let's tell him tonight, God, we believe you can do anything but fail. Would you come?
God can do anything but fail.
If it helps you like me, it helps me to pull my window blinds down and raise my hands toward heaven. Father, tonight, these dear people, oh, yes, you will. And these young people, Lord, thank you, Father, for a group of young people that I shunned up my tongue.